that one day you would create us from the very dust of this earth, Lord, and place the treasure of your ministry in our hearts. That out of all creation, all the beautiful things that you have made, that you would choose to live inside of us. What an honor and a privilege to have you so close. There was a time, Lord God, when your presence could be seen in a column of fire at night and a pillar of cloud in the day. Your presence, Lord God, was in the Holy of Holies and the tabernacle made with a tent. And you fulfilled your promise to come and live in our hearts. And today we celebrate who you are inside of us and in our midst here today. Holy Spirit, I've got absolutely nothing to say to your people. What can a man possibly say to make a difference in somebody's life? But one word from you can change our hearts. So thank you, Lord, that you're watching over your word to perform it this morning and achieve the purposes for which you send it forth, that it changes our lives to the praise and glory of your name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Today we're going to celebrate our weakness as human beings so that we can remind ourselves of how desperately we need Jesus. How many of you have ever received some kind of award or a medal or a cup or a certificate or a diploma for something? You've achieved something in life, even if it's just a driver's license. It's not a lekker feeling there to achieve something. But may God help us to remember that we are but dust. The scripture says that we are jars of clay. Jars of clay, that's all. So all God did is He just took a handful of dirt, breathed His life into it, and made something as valuable and as precious as you, to the point where you'd be worth dying for. Think about that for a moment. Think about the fact that God just used dust to make us. That's what we are. In that verse in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7, it says, now we have this light. What is that light? Other translations say we have this treasure. What is that treasure? Verse 1 of chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians says that it's this ministry that God has given us. What is this ministry that God has given us? Is it something that just I can say because I'm a full-time minister? Well, you should all be full-time ministers. I just receive payment for it. Can it just be people like me that say we have this ministry? What is the ministry? What is the ministry, ladies and gentlemen? It is the good news of the fact that God one day sent His Son Jesus to die, that He's raised from the dead, and He's coming again. It is the good news that He's paid the price for our sins. That is this ministry. This ministry of this mystery that this God comes and lives inside of people. That's this ministry. And when God took dust and breathed life into dust, He knew one day He's going to take that heavenly treasure and place it in cracked pots, like you and me. Broken vessels met all ons issues. Ons dink ons het net ploeie and warts and growths and goeters, nee. What about spiritually? And God saw that, and He deemed it good enough. If I was God, I would have chosen titanium, tungsten, unobtainium, diamonds. I would have chosen sapphires, rubies, beautiful things. No, God, somebody just use the dirt. And out of all the things He could have created, He created us in His image to place this treasure inside of us. And may we remind ourselves, when we look at ourselves in that light, how desperately we need Jesus. Because we are but clay jars. Fragile, broken vessels, julle. Dit is wat ons is. And God has chosen to place that treasure inside of us. In Genesis 2 and verse 7, and then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. Ladies, I've got good news for you this morning. You were not formed from the dust. Spare rib. A spare rib. God made you from the side of man. Isn't it interesting that He took you from man's side so that you could come alongside Him and protect His vulnerable heart? You know, A guy can be a success in the eyes of the world, be a major, a stellar performer in the business world, be an engineer that skricks for nicks, can be an incredible athlete in the field, but if in the eyes of his woman he's a failure, he's a failure. Come, gentlemen. Is it not so? And you can be a hero in the eyes of your wife. The world can think you're a jerk. But in the eyes of your woman, if you're a success in the eyes of your woman, yes, Dad, I'm okay. And he didn't take the woman from one of your toe bones that she can be your doormat. And ladies, hy het nie 'n stuk van die man se skedelbeen gevat so that you could be on top of him all the time. Warra, 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 warra. Nee. To be the head. No. He made... took you from the side, come alongside. But he made man from the dust of the earth. What was God thinking when he done that? He could have made us out of light. He could have chosen anything. He made us out of dirt. And as you know, we're going to get to other passages. We're going to see how quickly our life passes by. That I took a spoonful of dust this morning, blew it like it, and it's gone. Can you gather it all together this morning and make something of it? Can you make something of that this morning? Man, it gaan in jou oor in and it hurts your eyes and gets between your teeth and it's goor. And God done something with that. Psalm 103 and verse 14, he says, he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. If in your heart your motive is true and pure before God, say, God, I'm doing my utmost best. I'm not trying to perform for people or try and be something that I'm not. God, you see the condition of my heart that I'm trying. He sees that. And his grace is sufficient. His grace provides for when we fall on our face and stumble. Okay? So it's not a case of if, but when we stumble. God is there and he remembers that we are but dust. So even though we're created by the living God, let's not forget that we're made from dust. In Romans 12 and verse 3, it says, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. This is Apostle Paul in his letter to the church in Rome. Don't think you are better than you really are. Is it simple? Don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves. Measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Faith in the Word of God. The standard that we should use for everything, ladies and gentlemen, is the Word of God. The Scripture clearly teaches that if we compare ourselves amongst ourselves to ourselves, we're foolish. The standard that we must use to measure is the Word of God. So it's simply put, don't think that you are better than you really are. So what is the godly balance here? It doesn't mean that you must think less of yourself. Think of yourself less. It's scriptural to take care of yourself. The Bible says, look out not only for your own interests. So there it's, don't look out only for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. And that's the scriptural balance. Don't think less of yourself. Just think of yourself less. Realize that you're a lump of dirt in the hands of God. And that helps us to remind ourselves how desperately we need the grace of God on a daily basis all the time. All the time. Okay. So you've repented of your sins, right? And God has forgiven you of your sins, right? So then you've used grace, dan is mos genade mos nie nodig nie, nee. Because God has forgiven you. He's even forgiven you of all the sins you're still going to commit, isn't it? It is so. Some of you is bietjie onseker, maar it is so. That's how his grace is. But folks, we need that every single day, several times a day, right throughout the day, all the time. Klaagliedere. It's Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 22 to 23. The scripture says, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Each morning. Why do we need mercies afresh and grace each morning? Because guess what? When we wake up in the day, somewhere along the line, something that we do, something that we say, something that we think is going to be lower than the standard that God sets for our lives. How can any of us then stand before Him and be guiltless and blameless? How? Only when we're washed in the blood of Jesus. You see, how does an oak that arranges for one of his best buddies to be murdered so that he could sleep with his, or he sleeps with his wife and arranges to have his best buddy murdered because he slept with his wife. How can somebody like that have God say, he's a man after my own heart? If that was on my CV when I was being considered to be the pastor of the church, you think I would have got the position? If it was on my CV that I arranged for Christians to be persecuted and murdered, do you think they would have accepted my application? But it was fine for the Apostle Paul. It was fine for King David to be accepted in God's eyes. You see, folks, God sees that we are but dirt. But truthfully speaking, do we see that? That doesn't also mean that we must then hop on the devil's bandwagon when the devil accuses you all the time, you're not good enough, you're not good enough, you're not good enough. You know what? Maybe, and I'm just grant me poetic license this morning. See, don't tear me apart because it's unscriptural and onskriftelik and it's a cult and sulke goed. Maybe sometimes the devil tells the truth. Oh, he can't. He's the father of lies. So, when I say, jy is nie goed genoeg nie, jy is nie goed genoeg nie. Well, ons is nie. But in God's eyes, we are. And I think the gist of this morning's message is not to focus on the fact that ons uit stof gemaak is nie, but that God can take that and do something with it. You see, how were you when God started using you? Dirt. So if God can use you when you dirt and make something of you, imagine when you submitted to God. Imagine when you come in humility before God and you say, God, I humbly need you. Imagine, my brother, my sister, what God can do through you then. That excites me. That gives me encouragement that there is hope. Das hoop vir my op die einde van die dag. You know, God called you. The scripture says his love was demonstrated for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5, you can read it in the first few verses there. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's how he demonstrated his love for us. Not when we got our act polished and we're all together and we're doing things right, then God says, okay, I can use this person. No. Handful of dirt. That's when he uses us. So Lamentations 3, verse 22 and 23, each morning we need this grace and this mercy. May we never forget that we need daily guidance and grace from the Holy Spirit. In a world where there's so much lies, so much confusion, and so many things that are convincing, have you ever assessed what it's like when you hear one person's side of the story? It sounds nogal heel geloofwaardig, nee? It sounds believable. You think, gee whiz, eh? Until you hear the other person's story. And you realize that there's three versions of the truth. The one party's version, the other party's version, and the full version of the truth, the way God sees it. So in a world like that, all the time, waar ons rarig waar onderscheiding nodig het, we need God's wisdom and anointing every day to be able to discern. God takes people like us, earthen vessels, jars of clay, to place his treasure inside that we can make a difference out there in the world today. Psalm 39 and verse 5. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. Look at the palm of your hand this morning. Look at it. That's your life. There it is. You've made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. Imagine your life being that little bit of dust in that teaspoon. It's gone. Gone. Forbay. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath. How are you feeling this morning? How significant are we were it not for God in our lives? How significant are we were it not for the promises and the plans that God has for your life and the fact that He wants to use us He wants to use us with all of our issues. He wants to use us somehow, somewhere along the line, to touch one person's life. Do you know, at the end of the day, if you're sitting on the porch, on your rocking chair, maybe somebody has to rock the chair for you because you don't even have the energy to rock the chair. You're just like, you're just there. And you haven't led one person to the Lord. You haven't told anybody about Jesus. You haven't been involved in any church planting. You haven't given riches away to the poor. You haven't helped one hungry person or helped one older lady across the road. I realize I'm getting older. Ek's nog nat agter die ore, but when the guys in their 30s are calling me oom, I realize now ek moet hierdie bokkie baard afskeer because you can see gray hairs in the baard. Maybe that's a... He's your oom, man. He's on 30-something. Oom yourself, man. You're sitting in your rocking chair. And you've done nothing for the Lord. But you've got a relationship with God. You've achieved your life's purpose, my brother, my sister. God didn't create you to be a human doing. He created you a human being. Your life's purpose, God created you to enjoy you, to enjoy your company. Not how you can perform for God and preach like the angel Gabriel and be this mighty evangelist that leads thousands to the Lord. Those things are good and they're wonderful. But if you at the end of your days are sitting on your porch on your rocking chair and you have a relationship with Jesus, my brother, my sister, you've achieved your life's purposes. God created you for intimate fellowship with you, not to do great things, but to do the small things in a great way. That's what He's called you to do. That's how valuable and precious you are to God. I want that to be an encouragement to you this morning. And if our life is so short, realizing how short life really is, let's endeavor to make our lives count and use our time wisely. Quite some time ago now, I put a challenge to the care group when I was still leading the care group. I said, I want to make myself accountable. And I only want to watch TV when I'm eating because, I mean, I got to eat. So instead of just sitting in front of the TV for the sake of watching TV, I want to sit in front of the TV and eat. And I said, when the Holy Spirit reminds you of me, just send me a little icon of a TV so that I can remember. I remember the word that you gave, Mozzie. Because I realized for me at that time, just watching way, way, way too much TV. Is there anything wrong with watching TV? No. But in terms of productivity, if I think, sure, Lord, if I can just do something else instead of just watching TV, I can be productive with my time. I don't think any person on their deathbed ever said this. Gee, I just wish I could have spent more time working away from my family. I just wish I could have spent less time with the kids buying things. I just wish I could have spent more time watching my favorite program or whatever. No, it's wanting more time with loved ones. Ephesians 5 and verse 16, it says, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. In Genesis 1 and verse 26, God says, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. Like who? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's who. Let us make human beings in our image. God speaking, the Trinity, they're having a discussion. And they will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. Interesting that God chose us to reign and have dominion over the work of His hands. Why? Why? He made us to be like Himself. He made us to exercise dominion over these things. That's the worth that God has in you and that He places on you. The fact that God chose us to reign over the work of His hands shows how much value He places on us, even though we're made of dust. We're made of dust. Isaiah 64 and verse 6, when it comes to us achieving things in life, we are all infected and impure with sin. Not so encouraging, isn't it? We are all infected and impure with sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags. And like autumn leaves, we wither and fall, and our sins sweep us away like the wind. It's nogal 'n hartseer saak, nee. We're all infected. But there's good news. That's what the word gospel means, good news. God's mercy provides a way for us. If that's the condition of the human heart, what is the condition of the human heart? Jeremiah 17 and verse 9 says that the heart of man is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. That's what the scripture teaches. Secular humanism teaches that all human beings are basically good. Twak. Dis 'n leen. All human beings are basically good. Okay, parents, do you remember having to teach your child to be naughty? Dit het vanself gekom. They instinctively do what they're not supposed to do. They instinctively do what's going to lead to their harm and to their hurt. Why? Look at anything that's made. Anything. Just leave it out there. Just leave it. What happens? It naturally decays and worsens and goes from bad to worse. It naturally breaks down. It's a scientific principle. The same is true of our souls and the human spirit. Left to our own, we will self-destruct. We will. That thing about all human beings are basically good, it is not true. Look at the world, man. We're busy. We've messed it up already. I'm saying busy messing. We've already messed it up. We're not basically good. We need a Savior. We need Jesus. I'm going to say it again. We need Jesus. We need the grace of God, people. We need God's guidance on a daily basis. So if we're all infected and impure with sin and we're like leaves that fall off a tree and die and wither away and are blown away by the wind, where does that leave us? Desperately in need of Jesus. So this morning, may we make the time in our hearts and our minds to say this. 1 John 1 and verse 9. 1 John 1 and verse 9 is just one. Rose spoke about the many promises in the scripture this morning. It says, but if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. You see, folks, we don't have a plan for our lives. We can't fix the mess that we are. We can't change the condition of the human heart. Why do you think it is that even though you've confessed and repented, that you're going to have to do it again in the future? Why is that? Because of our heart. Because of our nature. That's how we are. We desperately need Jesus. Dust of the earth. We don't have a better plan than God's. Sê die, 'n boer maak 'n plan, né? En die Engelsman is die plan. But God is the plan maker. God is, His plan is best. His plan is best. He knows our purposes. He knows the things that He has in store for us. He made us, formed us, called us, created us, breathed His life into us, sent His Son Jesus to die for us so that we could have a beautiful, wonderful future. With no problems or difficulties, right? No. With lots of difficulties. With lots of challenges that we can be overcomers and more than conquerors. Last scripture, because I've been going for 25 minutes already. Time flies when you're having fun. Hallelujah. Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 8. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. I want to trust God this morning. I want to say, God, if I could somehow go outside and go and scoop up another teaspoonful of dirt, say, Lord, I take this jar of clay, this gentle, fragile life that is mine. It can be bumped, it can be flicked. I was thinking, should I blow it or should I flick it? So, no, just blow it for dramatic effect. That God can take that and do something with it. I want to say, Lord, I want to trust You this morning with all my heart. I don't understand You all the time, Lord God, but I want to trust You. When God cannot be understood at times, He can always, always be trusted. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, verse 5. Do not depend on your own understanding. Verse 6. Seek His will in all you do. You see, oftentimes we run ahead and run forward and say, Lord, I'm doing this. Lord, just bless me. Bless what I do. Bless the work of man's best. Instead of saying, Lord, get involved with what God is already blessing. That's the key. Getting involved with what God is already blessing. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Verse 7. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. I'm not impressed with my own wisdom because I don't have any of my own that can have significance. You know, I like trying to fix things. I love working with my hands, and I always pray, Lord, just anoint my hands. Help me just to do a good job here in whatever it is that I'm trying to fix. Verse 7, don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Verse 8, then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. Do we need that in 2021, people? I find it interesting that people are able to, now they're able to predict waves of which strain is coming and all sorts of stuff. Mensen, ons het wysheid nodig. Ons het wysheid nodig. Quite frankly, I don't believe this thing is going to stop at vaccination number 2. I'm not a prophet of doom, and I want to speak God's word into everything, but folks, you know what we need? We need God. We need the wisdom of the scientists and the doctors and the modern medicine. We need that too. My God knows we need wisdom. Brothers and sisters, we need wisdom. I don't know what the future holds. Sometimes I can hardly contain what's happening in the day, let alone just moet ek planne maak vir die toekoms. Yes, we must. Daarom het ons wysheid nodig, Here. And I think this is wisdom. Saying, God, I'm a jar of clay. I'm made from dust. And in that jar of clay, you've placed this light, this ministry, you've placed it inside me that I can be used of you somehow, somewhere. Verse 8, of Proverbs 3, then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. Only God can really take care of such delicate creatures made of dust and yet use us to reign over the work of His hands. I want to repeat that. It's sinking into my pip this morning. Only God can really take care of such delicate creatures made of dust and yet use us to reign over the work of His hands. So may we in humility and wisdom this morning go before God and let us not think too highly of ourselves. It says go before God and say, God, I'm made of clay. Ek is nietig. My life is as broad as my hands, just a breath. And at best, that's what we are. We're but vapor. Lord, take our lives. Give us wisdom. Give us grace. And may we live in humility to you and be used of you somehow to encourage somebody. Is that okay this morning? As we pray together, I'm going to ask the deep end to come up one more time and just get ready to lead us in a time of worship as we pray together, please, church. Heavenly Father, we graciously acknowledge our dependency upon you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that in your wisdom somehow, when you spoke everything into existence, you knew that once the world was made, you would take us from the dust of the earth and create us in your image and give us the privilege of reigning over the work of your hands and having dominion over that which you've created. And Father, we acknowledge that we are sinners and in need of your grace. And as you pray with me this morning, just pray along these lines in your heart and say, Father, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and I accept responsibility for my own wrongdoing. I've sinned against you, Lord. I don't blame anything or anybody else. And I ask, God, would you forgive me? Would you forgive me this morning according to your goodness and loving kindness, not because I deserve anything. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Heal my sinful heart. Renew a steadfast spirit within me, Lord, and create in me a clean heart, O God, that I might be in right standing before you. And Holy Spirit, fill my life and anoint me, Lord God, to live my life in such a way that it is pleasing to you and that It's an encouragement to others to want to live for Jesus. And in these difficult days, Lord God, we acknowledge our dependency upon you. And Father, so take our lives. We that are clay, jars of clay and made from dust, take our lives and do something with it, Lord, to the praise and glory of your name. And we thank you for this, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Let's worship the Lord together one more time. Thank you for making the time to come and visit. Just a reminder to the care group leaders, please, just quickly for a few minutes, quickly in my office. And remember that we're going to go visit another church in Sebokem. Come along and expose yourself to different cultures, different people that do things differently. Anybody and everybody's welcome.